This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean. I am the Iron Hamster, and the Freedom Fiends keep the New World hamsters at bay. We keep the New World hamsters out of your brain, and on the other end of the inner tubes, in a former U.S. missile silo in the heartland of America, we have Mr. Randy England, the Wampus Cat.
Good morning from Mid-Missouri.
Hi. Are there riots in the street there?
Things are quiet here.
Police riots in the street?
There are no problems. Last time I came through Ferguson, I was unmolested.
Are you safe? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I'm not allowed to say.
Okay. Well, say worms.
Worms.
Okay. That's the dog whistle for our inner circle who have the secret decoder ring.
That's right. I shouldn't cause confusion. I apologize.
No, thank you. Thank you. So Randy is a, let's see, what are we going to say here? He's an attorney and he's a former prosecutor. You and Bill Buford hate when I give your credentials because, you know, like he used to be a, you know, big wig in the military industrial complex, training soldiers in asymmetrical warfare. And you used to be a state prosecutor. And you guys hate that when I say that, but it's actually really important because, you know, otherwise you're just some guy talking on the internet like me. But, you know, you and Bill actually have some bona fides that we can give out that make people, they don't necessarily make you, you know, shinier, badgier people or anything. They just make you know what you're talking about. And we're going to talk a lot tonight about the law and how to deal with police stops and things about police stops and things, what to do if the feds knock on your door and try to talk to you. And you, Randy always wants to talk about what law would look like in LibPair or Libertarian Paradise. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. We can do that. But any bozo in his mother's basement who's a libertarian can get on the internet and do that. You're an actual attorney. And I think you forget that sometimes, that you actually know different things about what may work and what may not work. But we're going to start first with this really interesting story. Feds spend $1 million collecting, quote, suspicious memes, unquote. Do you want to read some of this, Rand, or you want me to do it?
Yeah, I think this is probably a big problem. It's a good thing they're touching on this.
I feel safer already. I actually think the fiends are creating jobs. Of course, they're government jobs, but I think we're stimulating the economy because we are, I wouldn't say one of the largest producers of suspicious memes, but we have four or five guys working on it. We built that. And yeah, man, we churn out, I don't know, I don't even know if it's we. I barely do any of them. I help with ideas sometimes. But I think there are probably 15 or 20 funny memes circulating around the internet, new memes from Camp Fiend about every week probably. So, yep, go ahead, sir.
Well, the story was that there was they spent $1 million in this study or this thing to gather together these suspicious memes based at Indiana University called Truthy. And I think you can look up Truthy and they'll tell you what they're all about. But it says they're looking for examples of political smears, astroturfing. That was, I think that's a term from 20 years ago.
Yeah, it means astroturfing, if people don't know, is big money funneled through what look like grassroots organizations. So, you know, yeah, things that look like, you know, Ferguson parents concerned about our children. And it's actually like, you know, the National Education Association, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And they're looking for social pollution lurking on the social networks. It doesn't say what they're going to do with it. They just need to collect this stuff.
Well, you know, they don't want to take our guns. They just want to register them and have a list of them. They want to register our memes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's interesting to me that they call the code name for this is Truthy, inspired by comedian Stephen Colbert's concept of truthiness, because that's a thing he's talked about, you know, it's pretty funny when he describes it. It's the idea of, you don't need to tell the truth anymore. It just needs to be truthy and people will buy it. You know, kind of talking about social, mainly about social media. Like he's meant, I think the first time he mentioned that, he opened up a laptop on camera and went to his Wikipedia page and, you know, basically said that he had a history of, you know, he's an expert in taming lions and he'd been to the moon and a few other things. And he's like, it's not a lie. It's kind of, it's not the truth either. It's kind of truthy. And I think they used that name to make young hipsters not object to this program. Like, oh, well, if it's named after our hero, Stephen Colbert, it can't be that bad. I'm sure, and I'm sure Colbert did a piece on this. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure he did and, you know, kind of laughed at it and like, oh, look what the silly government's doing. So, you know, like poking fun of it, but not really condemning it as the actual, like, Soviet mind think, Soviet central planning kind of stuff that they're doing. And the thing is, this kind of, what's interesting to me is it's really not news that the government would be collecting, you know, funny dissident thought to catalog it and see who's putting it out there. The thing to me is that they're admitting it because they've always done things like that, but they've usually done them behind closed doors. And it seems to me like more and more, you know, the more evil things that the government does aren't hidden and they don't have to cover it up. It's more like it's on their website in their mission statement or white paper.
And really, this one, the Truthy site says, Truthy could mitigate the diffusion of false and misleading ideas, detect hate speech and subversive propaganda, and assist in the preservation of open debate. So apparently, you know, it's this is a government initiative. I love getting propagandized. Personally, to me, you know, by my government, I know everyone else does. I don't know where they're going with this. Do you remember, excuse me, in 2008, when Obama was running the first time, there was, do you remember the Obama Truth Squad?
There was a thing where you were supposed to, like, report things that weren't true about Obama to the WhiteHouse.gov site. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, there was, but there was the Truth Squad. It was started, I believe that it was started here in Missouri by, one of the people who was behind it was the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. You know, the fellow that has the grand jury going on the police down in Ferguson right now. Well, that guy and I think the city prosecutor in St. Louis and some other small potatoes prosecutors in Missouri. They were all Democrats, and they said they're going to be looking into these lies being told about Obama, and as soon as they find someone has broken the law, they're going to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. And this almost sounds like, you know, maybe we're going there with some of this stuff.
And so you're talking about the guy, like that guy is now the guy who's being appointed to, you know, watch the watchers in Ferguson?
That's the guy who... He's the elected prosecuting attorney in St. Louis County who is running the grand jury on this shooting in Ferguson.
Yeah, have you heard this cry going out mostly on the left, but a little bit on the right to nationalize the police? Basically, like that's, you know, yeah, there's a problem with police, and the answer, you know, our answer is get rid of them or, you know, make them I would say privatize, but I hate that word because privatizing in modern usage usually means the government picks private companies that it sells the contract to or does a favor and gives the contract to, and there's really no competition. But, you know, I'm talking about like fully privatized, like people, law enforce, you know, protection agencies of different geographic regions would compete for the dollars of people. And, you know, then people always say like, well, the poor people would be murdered then. It's like, no, there's ways that would work out. We're not going to go into it right now, but you know, you can go find that. Google it, people.
Sure, there are ways. Well, you know, that was an interesting, when I saw that, just the headline, nationalization of police, you know, I thought, oh my, you know, this is so stupid. We really need this. But the letter that they sent, you know, it had some interesting points. It just, and actually its diagnosis of the problems weren't bad. It was just their selection of solutions.
Yeah.
like they said, the militarization of police departments across the country is creating conditions that further erode the trust that should exist between residents and the police. Well, and how, right? I mean, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. It says, well, let's see what
you
it
know
is.
Who I think is, let me go back for a second here, because we're, let's save that for another segment going off into the nationalization of the police idea. You know who I think is behind this Truthy thing? I don't see his name anywhere in the article, but I think it's Cass Sunstein. You know who that is?
I don't remember right now, no.
Cass Sunstein was the regulatory czar. He was put in by Bush and given a lot more power under Obama. He's kind of like the czar of all the czars, or the czar of everything. He wrote a book called Nudge, which is about, he actually coined this horrible phrase, what he calls libertarian paternalism, which is basically more like Joseph Stalin crossed with Mother Teresa. It's basically the idea of, we will nudge people into not smoking and into eating more healthy and into not choosing guns and, you know, making choices we consider healthy by, you know, simple things like putting the junk food in the back of the supermarket in a place that's hard to get to and putting the healthy food up front, things like that. You know, artificially raising the price of guns and bullets and increasing the scarcity of them.
Taxing them.
Yeah, taxing them, things like that. Like, not outlaw, like, for basically, he wants to outlaw everything, but his whole thing was, he was in charge of, like, well, things we can't outlaw, let's come up with policy to make people make better choices. Now, here's the really scary thing. That guy has stepped down as regulatory czar. He's been replaced. This is kind of funny. He's been replaced with a guy who was born in the Soviet Union. Like, actually, there is a Soviet guy running the czar position of controlling everything. You know, which is neither here nor there. But, you know, not someone's not bad because they're from the Soviet Union. It's just kind of funny. But it's generally believed, and I believe, that Cass Sunstein stepped down because he's going to be appointed the next Supreme Court judge. So you should know who this guy is. But he wrote a white paper during the Bush administration about, like, getting rid of conspiracy theories on the internet. And one, you know, part of it was, like, cataloging everything that's being said. That was one of his 20-point plan to nudge, you know, dissident speech off the internet. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Hello. And that was the Wampus Cat over there in Missouri. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Randy England. Hey, I got a little update on the Fiend Phone. It's Fiend Phone is a computer program that I am envisioning and hoping can be created and come into fruition and into the world. And we've been raising money for it to pay this programmer named Derek Slopey to create this thing. And we're trying to raise $20,000 because, you know, paying a programmer anything more than a charity rate is takes some money. And, you know, we have other expenses. And also, is Randy there?
I am here.
Okay, you're back. Okay, so Fiend Phone, yeah, we raised $1,200 with Bitcoin and cash. We're going for $20,000, but what's happened that's good is, and the Indiegogo's done, and you can still donate. You can donate or find in PayPal or Bitcoin at fiendphone.com. What's happened is Derek has graciously agreed to go ahead and get started on it and work toward, in the next few months, you know, by January, February, something like that, is the goal, coming up with a working version of Fiend Phone, which is it's an idea for something better than Skype. Like, you know, Randy just dropped off Skype for and Skype's audio is not great. You can read at fiendphone.com what exactly we're going for that would make it different and make it better. It'd be point to point, and it would have higher audio quality, and it'd be something we're going to give away free. So he's going to make a basic stripped down version of it that's just the good audio point to point without a lot of the bells and whistles we're planning on putting in later. And then we're going to release that, beta test it, have people try it out, and then do another fundraiser to raise more money to have Derek able to do a lot of work on it to actually get it to where we're going. And Derek is also doing something really cool, which is he's going to be hosting the Freedom Fiends web world on his dedicated server. Like usually when you, we were paying like $180 a year to HostGator or something like that. And that's a good package for a starter podcast. I still recommend them. But when you start getting a lot of traffic on HostGator's, you know, cheap programs, the $180 a year one, $140 a year, there's a couple of them. You're sharing like each individual rack space computer unit in their data center. You're sharing that with like 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 other accounts. And Derek has one of those in a data center that he pays a bunch of money each month for. And
does this mean that Derek will get droned instead of HostGator?
Yes, yes. And he, you know, he has about five websites sharing the same amount of computing power that, you know, HostGator has 1,000 websites sharing. So the web, it's already up there. I'm not going to give out. Well, it's just an IP now. So until we move it over Thursday and Friday. And it is screamingly fast. Your downloads are going to come a lot better. It's going to hopefully have better. It will have better uptime than the current Fiend site. And I won't have to use that weird caching software that makes it so like I put up a post and you don't necessarily see it on the front page for an hour or two. It's going to solve a lot of issues. It's kind of, we've kind of grown to the point where the shared hosting doesn't work. So Derek is going to be the man. And he is also one of the people, one of several people who have all the information it would take to keep doing the Fiends without me if I got droned. So if they're going to drone anyone, it's going to have to be Derek and I. And one other person, I'm not going to say who. So we are going to go back to, we're going to stop talking about me and start talking about the law. And Randy is going to talk about what to do if the if the government contacts you, basically. So go ahead.
Well, I was thinking on sort of along the lines of what you'd want to do if the police pull you over, because most people, their contacts come in that way. Probably everybody's been pulled over, but maybe most people haven't been rousted at their home. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I would like to hear. I would like to hear about both.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a lot of the, you know, same things that you would do if you're contacted by the police anywhere. But out on the road, you know, you get pulled over, and you know, first of all, you know, the police can't just pull anybody over anytime they want. You know that there's only, they have to have what they call reasonable suspicion to believe that some crime has been committed. Now it can be as little bitty a crime as having a tail light out, but some crime has to, they have to reasonable suspicion that the crime has occurred. And the only exceptions to that, I think, if you have like immigration customs people within 100 miles of a border, you know, where you're in a constitution-free zone, they can pull you over if they want. And
they keep expanding the all the exceptions to everything. But I'm not here to editorialize. We're here to talk about what to do if you're stopped by a cop. We will talk about that when we get back from this trip to the free market, where you will not get hassled by the government.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message.
with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean. Yeah. Randy England. Tell me about the police. What do you do about those pesky police?
Well, I think I was talking about, you know, what they could pull you over for. And one other thing they can pull you over for no reason at all is if it's a DWI checkpoint. And, you know, those are highly annoying because you haven't done a single thing. But anyway, you know, they end up pulling you over. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, if you watch too many of these YouTube videos where it says, you know, driver owns the cops, you know, at a DWI checkpoint or on a stop or something, and the guy is really hitting the cop with, you know, all this stuff. Am I being detained? You know, am I being detained? Can I say that another time? You know, all of that. If you want to do that, and, you know, if you're videotaping and that, by all means, you know, make a point. Maybe you'll be a star. But you really need to think about it ahead of time how you want to behave. And, you know,
to make it clear, you should. A lot of legal advice of how to deal with cops from non-attorneys doesn't explain the two different strategies. You know, there's the strategy of I'm being an activist, and then there's the strategy of I want to be on my way as least molested as possible, right? Those are the two things you have to fork in your mind when you deal with that.
And there's also the do I want to see if I can get out of getting the ticket? Because you know, I mean, whenever somebody says,
"Well, yeah, that's unmolested," you know, not molested.
You know, should I talk to the police? You know, if the cop comes up and says, you know how fast you were going? I mean, everybody's usually smart enough to say, no, you know, or say nothing, which is even smarter. But sometimes a soft pedal, sometimes accepting responsibilities, you maybe get the feeling that if you just said, I know, I'm sorry, officer, it won't happen again. I was on my way home. I mean, those situations happen and somebody gets off. But if you stonewall it and say, I've done nothing, you're just harassing me and everything, you know.
I don't recognize your authority. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean that far. I just mean denying guilt, you know. Then you may end up just with a ticket in your hand when it's over and the cop's on his way. Yeah, it's kind of dangerous, but sometimes you're in that situation where you feel like you can talk your way out of it. Actually, my suggestion would be if it's some trivial thing like a traffic ticket and you want to give it a shot, go for it. If they're accusing you of being a child molester, don't say a word. You know, I mean, that's gotta be it. But like I said, make a point with the cop and everything. Go ahead, but you know, you're probably going to get a ticket unless you catch him in a lie or something like that. And we've seen those videos; they're kind of fun too. But you know, the smart thing usually, unless you're looking for trouble, you know, I mean, you'd always want to stay, you know, kind of low key and be polite. And one thing you never do. Don't ever lie. You know, if you're trying to decide whether you should say something,
nothing is better than a lie.
Nothing is far better than a lie. If you tell a lie, they're liable to catch you at it. They often will catch you at it. You know, they know more things than what you think they know.
They can lie to you too.
Oh my! Well, we should talk about that a little bit too, but. Yeah, they go to school to learn how to lie. It's really great. You know, you to play it low key in that, but you always want to remember, you know, that you've got, you know, you have your rights. I mean, and you need to think about them, and you know, keeping quiet is only one of them. The other is that frequently a cop will, you know, they'll pull you over. And maybe it's just something small, like a bad taillight. And they may not even give you a ticket. I mean, you might, you know, end up being relieved, find out you're only going to get a warning. And then the cop gets ready to leave, and he says, "Say, before you go, would you mind if I searched your car?" You know.
They do say that a lot.
Yeah, they do. And it's just amazing how many people say yes. I mean, there could be a guy, you know, with 50 pounds of marijuana in the trunk, and they go,
yes.
They go, "Oh, sure, sure." And then you talk to this guy later, you know, the guy with the stuff in the trunk. He says, "I thought if I was just real cool about it, they would say no."
Yeah, there's actually in this, you know, not to go from reality here to fantasy on TV, but there's a really funny thing I'm thinking of. It's on in the TV show The Shield. There's a guy who's suspected of having shot and killed a meter maid that was like targeting him over and over and over and giving him tickets over and over and over. He was a delivery guy in a certain neighborhood and got tons of, you know, thousands of dollars of tickets from this one meter maid, and he shot her and killed her. And you know, they're questioning him and a couple other people in three separate rooms, and they ask him, they ask him all, "Do you mind, you know, can we do a ballistics, basically, gunshot residue test?" You know, which I don't even know if they'd have to ask at that point. If somebody's a suspect?
No, if you were in custody, in fact, even if you weren't in custody, they have the right. If there's evidence that's going to go away,
yeah,
that's kind of almost what you call an exigent circumstance.
Well, I think at this point though
they can take it.
Yeah, it was more like he was a person of interest, because it was basically they were talking to three people who had received a large number of tickets from this meter maid. Would it still be they could do it without a warrant, without permission?
No, I don't think they could do it without a warrant. I don't think they could get a warrant. They have to have probable cause to get a warrant.
Okay, so they asked him if they could do the test, and he said, sure. And they swabbed him and came back and, you know, said, "Okay, you fired a gun today. You lied." And he's like, "Yeah, I shot her. She was such a bee." And they're like, "Well, why'd you agree to the test if you knew you were guilty?" And he said, "Well, I figured it's a government test. How accurate can it be?"
Well, we still don't know how accurate it was, but I guess then he followed it up with a confession, so that would be two mistakes.
I mean, they probably also could have, you know, just lied, you know, not even done the test, like swabbed him with a Q-tip and then thrown it away and come back and said he was positive, and this guy probably would have said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I did it."
Yeah, but, you know, it's just stunning the way people are willing to do whatever the cops ask them to do. It's almost like they want to the officer to like them or something. I mean, they could say, "Well, you know, how about if we go over to search your house?" I mean, I'm always thinking, you know, I'd almost be tempted to say, except I'm still trying to get out of the ticket, right? I'd almost be tempted to say, "Well, how about if I like that nice, you know, shotgun, you know, sticking up in your car there? Why don't I go search your car while you search mine, you jerk," you know?
and that's wise, unwise words from Randy.
No, I'd never have the guts to say that.
But, it's just funny because I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people have a high opinion of lawyers, and that's, you know, there's a million jokes about it, and you probably have a book of them sitting in your waiting room. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people think of lawyers as thinking things like that. Maybe. I don't know.
The thing is, you think up to yourself, you know, you got this cop here who does not have probable cause to search your car, and here you are, and in your mind you're saying to yourself, you know, you and I are exactly equal on the issue of searching each other's pockets right now, each other's car, each other's house. Who in the hell do you think you are? Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you're like the squeaky cleanest guy in the Freedom Fiends. Like, I don't even always turn on the cuss dump when it's just you and I forget to sometimes because I don't worry about it. And, you know, in 6 months of radio or 4 months of radio, if you say hell once, I think we can let that slide.
Well, it's just annoying to
it's,
me.
It's and late. It's in the middle of the night, man. The little kids are asleep.
Yeah, right.
Don't take it beyond that word and don't say it again, but it was okay.
I won't push it any further. But that gives you an indication, you know, about how I feel about it. Now, being a former prosecutor and a defense attorney is probably the reason why I feel so strongly about it, because in my mind, you know, I know what the law is, and I know that he has no right to get into my car, you know, any more than I do his. And so get out of here. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, if you don't think of anything else, you think, well, what's going to get me on my way quicker?
Yeah.
And he says, can I search your trunk? You're going, no, you know, I don't think so, because that's not going to get me on my way any quicker. You wouldn't want to say the last part. Just say no. Always say no.
Well, I've actually had an experience where it might have gotten, you know, I'll play devil's advocate here. Playing in a rock band, getting pulled over, looking all freaky with long hair and green hair and shaved heads and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Out of state tags in a, you know, van with a bunch of bumper stickers on the back. We got pulled over a few times. One time I can think of in particular where they said, can we search the van? And one of us said, what if we say no? And they said, well, we're going to get the drug dog. He's at the airport. It's going to take an hour and a half to get him here. So, you know, not knowing what we know now, we let them. But
yeah, and you didn't want to do that because they can't hold you for a drug dog that long unless they have probable cause.
Good to know. Good to know.
Or at least, you know, this thing I said earlier, if they have reasonable suspicion that you have committed a crime or there's drugs in the car or something like that, if things develop while they're asking you questions that make it more and more likely that, you know, you have that, they can extend the time. But mostly, you know, they come up, maybe they're suspicious over
they're
something.
They're fishing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and you say, no, no drugs here, officer, and no, you can't search my car. Am I free to go now? Because at that point, they got nothing. And if they want to bring a drug dog, you know, if they don't have anything else and they're going to make you wait for a half hour or more for one, it's probably not going to be a legal search. But the thing is, you never, ever want to consent to the search, even if they claim they have the authority to. You know, you can say, well, look, I'm not going to resist, but I don't consent to the search. I mean, if they showed up at my front door with a search warrant and a piece of paper and handed it to me, I'd still say, I'm not consenting to this.
Yeah.
Because when you go into court for a motion to suppress, and the prosecutor, you know, wants to get his evidence in, whatever was caught, he wants to have as many reasons to give the judge why they should let the evidence in, and he'd love it if he had probable cause to search and your consent. You know, just a double whammy. Now you're pinned down with chains on both arms. So you don't give them anything more. You just say, you know, if you're going to search, you're going to search, but don't have my consent. By the way, am I free to leave? That's always a good thing to say, because at that point they have to either let you go or they keep you. Since you're asking, it's very clear you wanted to go.
Yeah, we'll be back with more on Randy England, attorney Randy England's punk rock free distance learning cop blocking school on how to deal with those pesky men with shiny badges who want to touch you in special places.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from, let's just say, Airworm 1, hovering over Surprise, Arizona. Is that what? That's the Wampus Cat. He's over in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I'm in Surprise, Arizona tonight. And Randy England is a former prosecutor and current attorney. a criminal attorney. Are you a criminal attorney or are you a criminal attorney?
I am a criminal attorney.
But not a criminal attorney.
I'm not saying anything more.
Well, you did bury your cat in your backyard. That was a crime.
I did. And now I can confess that.
I like statutes of limitations.
It is good because it's, you know, if they convict you, you're never forgiven. But if enough time goes by without being charged, it's out in the open. Except murder. There's no statute of limitations on that.
So. I think that that's the only thing there should not be statute of limitations on.
Well, they keep extending them out, you know, for especially child sex crimes, things like
okay,
that.
Okay, anything that's a real crime. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into the whole discussion of law in LibPair because we're at law in reality and self-defense, nonviolent self-defense against the law. So you were talking about asking a cop what is reasonable when you're stopped, asking a cop what the reasonable suspicion is. Now, I've also heard the term, I don't want to get into magic words here, but I've also heard the full term is it not reasonable, actionable, or articulatable suspicion, right?
Yes, the phrase is now you've got me. Reasonable suspicion is like the quote from the Supreme Court cases. But what that means is that you have to have an articulable reason, like I saw this or I saw that. You can't just say, well, he was kind of acting fidgety,
yeah,
or I had a hunch. You can't go with that. It has to be something more solid. You know, they have these different degrees of, you know, like you did it, there's reasonable suspicion is enough to get pulled over, but you can't get searched, your car searched, say, against your permission unless they have probable cause, which is a higher level. Now, don't tell me ask me exactly what those levels are, but probable cause is more than reasonable suspicion.
Why don't ask you? Because it's not a cut and dry thing.
Because it's kind of fluid. Yeah. And it takes more to search your car than it does to pull you over or stop you on the street.
Well, let me ask you, what I was getting at is there an advantage or disadvantage of using the phrase reasonable suspicion? You know, what is your reasonable suspicion, officer, as opposed to what is your reasonable articulatable suspicion?
Well, you would say, I don't know. If you ask a cop what his reasonable suspicion was, he's not going to answer you. And he doesn't really have to. He only has to come up with that by the time he writes his report.
So what do you ask? Okay, let's backtrack a little bit here. First of all, basically, I've heard, and tell me if you think this is correct, that when police pull you over and they're friendly to you, they're not being your friend. They're trying to find a reason to process you into the system. Is that correct, generally?
Well, I think it generally is. I mean, some cops, I mean, if they catch you speeding and they pull you over, they may, and if you're not a kid, okay? If you're a kid, if you're young, or you look like you're scruffy or something, or look like a bad Quaker or something like that. Sorry, Ben. But if you're giving them some reason, you know, to come after you, yeah, they might treat you polite when they really want to get you. But if they pull over, let's just put it this way: if they pull over me, I'm this old guy, and as you pointed out so many times, I'm really square, and
you look like a kindly grandfather driving your, you know, like you should have your grandkids in the back going from church to the VFW picnic.
Right. And if pulls me over, he's not going to figure I'm going to have drugs. He's going to write me the ticket or not, and he'll probably be polite about it, even though he doesn't have an ulterior motive beyond that. But that might not happen with, you know, a kid, for example.
All right. We'll be back with hour two of Distance Learning Cop Blocking Series with Randy England Esquire, current criminal attorney in Missouri, and former prosecutor in Missouri. Hour two of the Freedom Fiends coming up after this trip to the free market.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. It's Freedom Fiends. Wampus Captain through the night. Hold your radios tight, everybody. It's the Freedom Fiends. Keeping away the new world hamsters in your brain. You know, there is a kind of vulture called New World Vultures. I think that'd be a great name for a rock and roll outfit. Hi, we're the New World Vultures playing tonight in Jefferson City, Missouri at Bill's Tap and Grill. Do you go to that place, Bill's Tap and Grill?
No, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I think the new World Vultures are playing there. Or is it the New World Hamsters? So, Randy England is an attorney, but we like him anyway. Do you have books of lawyer jokes in your home or office?
You know, I would not need that because all of my friends tell me the latest jokes that they've heard that are 20 years old anyway. But it doesn't bother me, you know.
Yeah. Do you have one of those books in your waiting room of like weird laws, like it's illegal to wear a yellow hat on Sundays in Ferguson, Missouri? Anything like that?
I do not.
I've been to so many law attorneys' offices who have that book or one of those books in their waiting room.
You should not be going to lots of attorneys' offices.
Okay, well, let me explain. I was a bike messenger in San Francisco, and I most of what I did was walk into attorneys' office and hand things to the secretary, receptionist, and a lot of times I had to wait for a counter signature. So I would sit down all grubby and stinky and punk rocked out and around really nice, clean people who'd be staring at me. Actually, most of the offices I went into there were not the kind of offices that would have that. They were, you know, they were like the ones with the big shiny metal offices and Metalopolises. But I have been in attorney's offices that more than three, let's say, probably four, that have had that book in their office. So we're talking about what to do in a cop stop. If a cop stops you on the street, and I say this a lot. Randy doesn't like it. People that listen on the internet are like, why do you introduce the topic after every break? And I'm like, because it's radio, and we do put it up on the internet, but it's also radio, and people tend to listen to radio for between 10 and 40 minutes, 10 and 40 minutes in their car. That's the research. And, you know, they listen in their car while they're driving, so they don't know, you know. And I've actually heard a lot of radio where there's somebody interesting talking, and I'm driving to Walmart and back or something, and I'm like, boy, I'd like to buy that guy's book he's talking about, but I have no idea who it was, so... You know, I try to do that. And if it's a little overkill for the internet, start your own darn radio show. So when the cops pull you over, I've heard the theory that they're basically they're trying to give you a ticket or arrest you. That's their goal. Not that there's necessarily quotas, but a cop who doesn't give away any tickets or arrest anybody ever will probably not be a cop very long. Would you agree with that?
You know, that's probably true for, you know, I guess good reasons and not good reasons. I mean, if you're a cop, you're expected to do the cop's job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you never do anything, you're kind of like Wally and Dilbert.
You know? I would say, it's funny because they measure, the people like, okay, a sheriff running for office will trump his high arrest and conviction, you know, of I've put this many scumbags in prison. I would say, you know, the higher conviction rating is not the higher arrest and conviction rating. It's the opposite of what should be the metric for you helped reduce crime. If you really helped reduce crime, there would be less arrests. But that's not that's not how statists work, and that's not how voters think, and that's not how, you know, the general citizenship has been taught to look at things. So they think more arrests, you know, more people in jail means a good cop, not less, you know. That means there's more crime to me, if you want to look at it from that standpoint.
When I was a prosecutor, I had a motion to suppress one time where the defense attorney was trying to get the judge to believe that my police officer, who whatever he was testifying to, believed that my police officer was lying. And the defense attorney got up and basically established that my officer had the highest arrest rate in the entire police force in town. He brought in more people, more arrests, more drug busts, more everything. And, you know, felt like he just made his case. And the cop just looked at him and said, he said, well, you know, some people, when they go to work, actually work 8 hours.
Wow.
And I still didn't know what to make of it. Never caught the cop in a lie, though, so I still don't.
Okay, so let's go like point A, point B. We took a lot of side trips, and that's good. We asked a lot of questions and answered a lot of questions. But let's go again from like cop pulls you over to you leaving with the least amount of damage. You know, we're not really covering the if you want to be an activist and make a point and film it and be an internet superstar, which is it's worth doing and it's valuable. But I don't really. Do you have a lot to speak to of what someone would do, particular if they're doing that tack, for instance?
Well, if you are, say, videotaping the police at the same time and they can see it and things like that, you probably want to be even more polite.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you only want to provoke somebody with a gun so far.
Somebody with a gun who can almost get away with murder and up to and including get away with murder. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd almost want to, you know, save your contempt for the courtroom or something. In there, the only thing that can happen is you get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
You're liable to get shot out on the street if you know, you get the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're just wanting to get on your way, then you just be polite and hope, you know, hope maybe you'll get some mercy if it's just a ticket or something. The only way you can really protect yourself is, like I was saying earlier, number one, never ever consent to a search at any place, any time. Not your purse, not your house, not your car, not your pockets, nothing. If they can legally search you, they will do it anyway. So you don't even have to worry about consenting. Just don't consent.
That's crucial. That's interesting what you just said. And I think
very crucial.
Yeah, say it again.
Never consent to a search. It's simple.
If they can search you, they're already searching you. They don't have to ask.
Right. And they're not, now you don't obstruct a search. If they're starting to search, you know, you can just step back and go, I'm not consenting to this, you know.
Now, let me ask you this, a strategy thing. If it's gone, you know, to the point of you're headed to the cop shop, you've been, you know, arrested. Yeah, arrested.
Yeah, there's some things you should know at that point.
Okay, let me ask you one really quick before you do them. If the cops do something that's grossly illegal or, you know, grossly violating your rights, do you tell them? Or do you keep that in your pocket and just shut up about it for later?
Most of the time, it won't do you any good to tell them. It'd be nice if you had it recorded or something. You know, whenever there's a, you know, when I have a defendant, that frequently I'll have the defendant tells me the story, what happened. It doesn't match with what the with what the police report says. And, you know, you can usually tell who's telling the truth. I mean, some things are more likely than others. And when I hear a plausible story from my client and the police report is like, yeah, that's goofy, you know, you know who's lying. And, well, anyway, what was your question? Go ahead there.
Oh, Mike, I think you answered it. It was, well, the question was, you know, like, let's say they do something procedurally very illegal that would probably, that could work to your advantage in court.
You mean like they forget to read you your Miranda rights or something, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that you just, you wait till later and, you know, tell your lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, hey, he didn't do that. And they, you know, that may get you off. It may not get you off. You don't really, know if that's going to happen, but
they've been stripping away the Miranda requirements in a few different ways, haven't they?
Well, it isn't so much Miranda. A case just came down recently that was building on a case from, about a year ago, that didn't have to do when you'd been arrested and read your Miranda rights, but it had to do with remaining silent. See, when they read you your rights, the police will start out, and most of them carry a little card in their pocket, that says Miranda warning at the top. When you get arrested, the cops will have these warnings, and it's you have the right to remain silent is the first thing they say, right? Now, and this is one thing that's good, cops are allowed to lie to you, but they're not allowed to lie to you right here. So, like, this is like the best advice a cop will ever give you. So when they read you Miranda, listen really closely, because that if they've arrested you, you've already figured out they're not your friend. And then they say anything you can say will be used against you in a court of law. And that, well, that is really, really good, true advice, and you want to hear that. And then they say you have the right to talk to a lawyer and have them present, when you're being questioned. And then if you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent you. And then finally they tell you, and if you decide you want to answer questions, you can stop anytime you want. And those are the Miranda rights, that they're going to read you. But there are cases when you go to court and a person is read the Miranda rights and then says, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to exercise my right. I'm going to remain silent. When you go to trial, you're not allowed to, the prosecutor's not allowed to bring up the fact that you remain silent. They're not allowed to say, an innocent man would have explained himself and he remained silent. These new court cases have to do with whether they're allowed to use that against you or not.
All right. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean, and Randy England. The Wampus Cat, Randy England. And
there I am.
The New World Hamster, Michael Dean. We're talking about law. I sure know a lot of attorneys. That is an interesting thing. We had Stephen Kinsella on the other night talking about IP law, and he is great on that, but it's all anyone ever asked him to talk about. I actually had him on one time and talked about music and stuff, and it was a lot of fun, and IP law is of general interest to a lot of libertarians because, it's interesting. It's bad that these laws exist and they mess people up. And there's something happening in our community right now that concerns IP law. But the thing is, most people don't ever have any dealings with IP law. Most people do have in their life get pulled over by a cop. So I'm not saying like one's more useful than the other. I actually have had a lot of dealings with IP issues, and it's taught me to hate intellectual property laws. I actually hated intellectual property laws and was completely against them before I ever became a libertarian. And an example of me dealing with IP laws is I was in this band Bomb that was on Warner Brothers, and we sold 50% of our publishing for a $85,000. I ended up getting a check for $20,000. It was like the most money I ever got at one time in my life. And, you know, it went into my arm after buying, you know, first I bought, you know, four new bass guitars and a new amp or two new amps and bought, you know, I was being kind of rock starish about it. I bought a bass that was the same color as my eyes, and I bought another bass that was made the same year I was born. And that's how like frivolous I was being, but they were all nice basses. But, you know, 2 years later, they were all in the pawn shop, you know, being sold at 1/10 of what they're worth because they could tell I was shaky and sweating and needed the money right now, man, and wasn't in a position to bargain. You know, here's an interesting thing with that. Like, I wrote these songs, you know, co-wrote these songs with lead singer on these songs, played bass on them, you know, suffered for them, almost died for them, and did sell them voluntarily, sold half the publishing to Warner Chapel Music, which is the publishing arm of Warner Brothers. And a few years, you know, I wanted to use some of them in, you know, like we use some of that stuff on this radio show, some of the bumps at the beginning, but it's not the stuff from the Warner Brothers record. It's like we used the versions from and songs from the independent label record that we did, one of the independent records we did, that we still own the rights to. So, you know, I mean, but I actually like have, at one point I wanted to use one of the songs from the Warner Brothers record in a movie I was making. And this is about 10 years ago. And I called up, not 10 years ago, it was probably 7 years ago. And I called up Warner Chapel Music and ended up talking, you know, basically I was saying like, hi, I was on Warner Brothers. I was on the label you guys are from. And I want to know if I can for free use a couple songs I wrote, parts of them in background music in a film I'm making that's going to have small independent distribution. I ended up talking to this attorney who I swear sounded like he was born after that band broke up. And he basically said, well, you can't use them free, but we can license them to you at a reasonable rate. And it just blew my mind. And it was like, that was my come to the mountain moment of IP is the devil. When, you know,
when you can't use your own stuff.
Yeah. When you know, when some kid that was born after this band broke up of this record, it's not selling even anymore. You know, I mean, we make $50 a year in royalties on that band, and I give mine to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. But, yeah, man, just like somebody telling me that they could license me at a reasonable rate the rights to use songs I wrote and performed on and sang on. Okay, so we're going to talk more about something most people actually do deal with rather than copyright issues, which is cop stops. And we were going to talk with Randy England, attorney Randy England, about what to do if all of the previous stuff fails and you actually find yourself in the back of a police car headed to the police station.
Yeah, well, if you find yourself getting arrested, yeah, and going to the police station. You know, I was thinking about, you ever seen these cop shows where the police are, you know, sweating the confession out of the guy, and just as at the moment the killer is about to, you know, confess and admit that
his
he did it.
His attorney walks in the room?
The attorney rushes in
and says, don't say another thing.
Don't answer. This interview is over.
I can name 10 shows right now I've seen that in. You know, The Wire, The Shield, Breaking Bad, Law and Order. Go on. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that is, it's so completely stupid. Like, defense attorneys, you know, are kind of like the Terminator. They can just barge into secure areas of the police station anytime they want, you know?
And that
is,
and
this has never happened in history.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody who is likely to have to need a lawyer on retainer that could burst in when needed, wake up in the middle of the night, should be a person who knows not to talk to the cops.
Yeah, if you, that's true.
Yep. All right, we'll be back with more soon.
We'll be back
with the New World Hamsters.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
And we're back. Yeah. Freedom Fiends. All the news that fits. There's some paper back in the day that their tagline was all the news that's fit to print, which is a really kind of prudent, you know, kind of like pilgrim kind of morality sounding thing.
New York Times, I think.
Yeah, it was all the news that's fit to print. And I remember Rolling Stone magazine in the 60s paraphrased that and made their motto, all the news that fits. That's pretty funny.
All right, well, newspapers are constrained by the size of the page.
Yeah, and I would say the Freedom Fiends is, you know, all the news that flits, all the news that flits through my brain and comes out. All right, so we're talking about attorneys with an attorney who, you know, I mean, there are people out there who are not attorneys who give legal advice on the radio and elsewhere, and I'm sure they'll think that Randy is shilling for the attorney industrial complex by saying, yes, if you get arrested, you should probably talk to an attorney instead of representing yourself or having, you know, some internet call-in show guy who's not an attorney do it. And but no, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not really into the attorney industrial complex, and I would call an attorney if arrested. So what should people do if they're arrested? Walk me through it.
Okay, well, I think we were talking about the Miranda warnings that the police have to read to you before they ask you any questions. If they're not going to ask any questions, sometimes you get pulled over for running a stoplight and they ask you for your license and you don't have one, it's revoked, you get arrested for driving while revoked. I mean, they may not even ask you any questions. They just figure, I got you. And they don't have to read you your Miranda rights. They only read Miranda rights. You know, you have the right to remain silent, blah, 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 if they're going to interrogate you. And they have to do it before they do.
Now, the ruling, wasn't the new ruling that if you say, yeah, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to my attorney, and then, like, they go out of the room and then come back and bring you lunch and then leave and then come back, and they just start talking to you like, by the way, you know, was that your gun or was that someone else's? And you answer, they can get away with doing that if you don't again say, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to my attorney. Is that correct?
There's kind of a trick that everybody needs to remember, and that there's an ironclad rule that once they read you your Miranda warnings and tell you you have the right to talk to an attorney and all the rights that you have, remain silent in that. If you say, and these are kind of like magic words, but these are magic words that work, and you say, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to an attorney first. And that is it. Once you say those magic words, they cannot come back and bring up the subject and start asking you after lunch. The only way they could possibly ask you again would be if you changed your mind and called them in and said, hey, I heard what you said earlier. We all heard what I said. I changed my mind. I'd like to talk to you. That would do it, but they can't do anything with you then. They are just, it's over. Once you say, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to a lawyer first.
Now,
that's it.
What if you forget that and feel friendly or talkative and talk anyway after saying you don't want to talk to an attorney? Is that on you?
It's on you, but they can't. Well, at some point, you've kind of opened yourself up, you know, kind of saying, hey, I changed my mind, I want to talk with you guys. But you start blabbering, you know, to them, they're just going to take down anything you say and they're going to use it against you. That's the second thing. They read you on Miranda. Anything you say can and will be used against you. So if you tell the truth, they'll use that against you. If you tell a lie, and they'll probably find out later, they'll use that against you.
Okay.
And you need to just say, I want to talk to a lawyer first. I want to talk to a lawyer first. You know, that's
like a broken record.
Absolutely. And they'll tell you, you know, you have the right to talk to a lawyer and have them present with you during questioning. Now, this is kind of tricky in a way because they seem to be saying to you, well, if you ask for a lawyer, they'll get one for you. No, they won't. They're not. That's going to happen. That does not happen. They're just going to stop asking the questions. And that's the point. You're not even saying, you're not committing to getting a lawyer. You're not committing to having a lawyer. You don't have to have a lawyer. You just say, I want to talk to a lawyer, and that is magic words that they have to shut up and stop asking questions, and that's my whole point.
But they still can't. They still might ask questions.
No,
they never ask questions after you say that. Never.
Well, they ask booking questions like your name, but no questions that incur on the events that you were arrested for, on your guilt, or anything like that.
And you should give your name when asked, right? If you've been arrested.
Well, If you want to make a fuss about who you are, you're not going to be bonding out anytime soon. They're going to identify you before you ever get out of there. That's for sure.
Now let me ask you about the difference between if you can afford an attorney and call one and get them down the middle of the night or the next morning, versus if you cannot afford and have one appointed for you. How long are you going to be waiting if you are asking for a court appointed attorney in something serious?
You're going to be waiting until they can bring you before the court. You're not going to, if you can call an attorney and get them to come in and talk to you at the jail, that's fine. They can come in and they can come in at, I don't know, in the counties that I go to, you can go in every single day. You don't have to wait for a visiting day or something like that. They're pretty good about letting you come in and talk to a client. There's nothing going on there, but you're not going to, if you say, I want to have one appointed because I don't have any money, then you're not going to see an attorney until after you've seen the judge.
Yeah. Isn't it the way court appointed attorneys work is like a half hour before your trial starts, they might look at the papers?
No. What'll usually happen is, say you're going to get, most people will bond out unless it's really serious, but, it doesn't matter. You get a court date where you show up in court after you've bonded out and you show up that day before the judge, or if you can't bond out, they'll often do it over a video connection between the court and you in the jail, and the public defender will usually come over and do the video dockets, kind of on the assumption that most of these guys that can't bond out probably can't hire an attorney either.
Yeah.
But so at the time that you're arraigned by the court, they'll tell you what the charges are, and they'll usually ask you, are you going to hire an attorney? And you say, no, I can't afford one. So then they will say, well, I want you to talk to the public defender, and then you have to fill out some paperwork. And either the public defender sitting right next to you there, if it's on a video link with the jail, or they'll send you over to talk with the public defender or send you out in the hall to talk with the public defender. And then, and this may be weeks after you were arrested, is the first time you talk to a lawyer.
If you were arrested for something serious, would you represent yourself or hire another attorney?
I would hire another attorney.
That's what I figured. Now, why is that?
Not wanting to have a fool for a client.
Also, because if you're in jail, you can't prepare a case.
Oh, that's true. And I'm hoping if I ever was charged with something, maybe I could make bond or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So if you were arrested for something serious and you bonded out and you were out of jail waiting for trial, would you still hire another attorney?
I really think that I would.
Why?
I really think that I would, because attorneys can do things for you that you can't do for yourself. Like an attorney can say you want to get some kind of a deal and you want to run something by the prosecutor, and your attorney can walk in, or maybe a defense that you have, and your attorney can go in and discuss it with the prosecutor without committing. Like they can go in and say, well, if this happened, you know, maybe this and this, but if you're talking, you're sort of incriminating yourself. So attorneys can do things for you that you can never, ever do for yourself.
What do you think of the don't take a plea movement and idea?
Well, that's kind of like the, you know, should I mouth off to the police officer who pulls me over? It depends on what your goal is. If you are wanting to get out with the least blood lost, then blindly refusing to take a plea may not accomplish that. But if you're trying to teach the system a lesson or overload the system or any number of valid, you know, reasons why you want to fight these guys, somebody, you might even be innocent, who knows, you would do that. But my only quarrel probably is if somebody would just blanket refuse to take the plea without really knowing what the consequences of that would be. If it was my client, I would just want to tell them, here's what's probably going to happen if you do this, and here's what's going to happen if you do this, and it's up to you. I mean, I'm with you, but I want you to know it may come out a lot worse if you do this over this. And if you have your eyes open, then that's your decision to make, not mine.
If somebody was and they should be willing to go to jail. That's often not talked about in that, right?
Well, maybe so, unless it's a traffic ticket, and you probably won't go to jail.
Do you think that if somebody was dealing with an arrest, with their arrest, if they wanted to fight the system rather than get the least amount of damage and get out of there, if they wanted to fight the system, would it make sense for them to hire an attorney to advise them?
Even though they were going to represent themselves?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's really good. If you had the luxury of hiring an attorney and you wanted to go ahead on your own, the attorney at least can help you procedurally, you know, like do this and do this without having the judge telling you to sit down and shut up because you have no idea what you're doing. And the judge is only going to put up with so much with you if you are constantly doing things that make no sense because you haven't the slightest idea what you're doing. So it's and if you want to break the rules, fine. But it's smart to know that you're going to break the rules before you do it.
Yeah.
You're just kind of arming yourself for what's coming next. And, you know, they do that in many of these very serious cases, like in murder cases when someone absolutely refuses to have an attorney and the death penalty is on the table. So the judge will appoint what they call a standby counsel who will advise them outside of court, can answer their questions if they want to know something, trying somehow to get this person a fair trial, even though they insist on being their own attorney.
Yeah, like things as simple as like what you can object to and what you can't object to, right?
Right. And, you know, when you go into a certain thing with a certain witness, you know, a good attorney is going to know going in what issues are going to happen. And if you sit down, and I've done this with some guys who wanted to represent themselves in a case, not a criminal case, but some other ones. And, you know, I'll tell them this and this and this and this. And if it's a smart person, and if you've predicted pretty well what issues are going to come up, a smart guy can do it. I mean, they're just as smart as you are. They just don't have the selective knowledge for this or that issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of the difference between approaching court like what you think should happen and approaching it like what probably will happen. It's not fair, but that doesn't mean magic words will make it fair. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. We're talking to my attorney, Randy England. No, I actually don't own him. I know a lot of attorneys, and I travel a lot of attorneys, and I have them around me. But I surround myself with attorney. I have, as a patent attorney would say, I have thickets of attorneys surrounding me. I want to talk about the term "my attorney." When people say, "I want to speak to my attorney," does that have any legal meaning other than "I want to talk to an attorney"?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, it doesn't.
My attorney could mean one that you have in mind, or it could mean the one that I'm about to hire.
Okay, so it doesn't. It does not work against you to use the term "my attorney."
No, and you don't even have to end up getting an attorney for that to work. You can say, "I'm not going to talk to you. I want to talk to my attorney first." And then if you never ever hired an attorney, it would still be okay.
Good to know. Now, without sounding like a shill for the attorney industrial complex, what does it mean to have an attorney on retainer? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of that?
Well, first, a little disclosure. No one has me on retainer. I think that's maybe a little bit more.
So you could rap some lines from Nima's song "I Own Me."
It's kind of a TV show thing, and more people have an attorney on retainer when they have ongoing connections, legal issues. I mean, maybe a mobster, you know, but I don't
Corporate mobster or a government mobster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you had a reason to, you would have one on a retainer, and you would. I'm not sure how you would even set that up. If someone came to me and said, "Randy, I want to pay you to be available for my questions," you know, I would probably say something stupid like, "Well, you can call me anytime anyway, so why send me money?" I end up giving away, you know, so much free legal advice, which this, of course, I'm doing now is not legal advice, because you're not in my state and the listeners are not in my state and I don't know enough. So, you know, disclaimer, there's some legal disclaimer stuff right there. But I will, if someone calls me up, if they have a criminal legal problem, I tell them what I can on the spot, and I try to help them out, and I don't send them a bill. You know, that's, you know, I feel like, you know, people in that situation are kind of in a bad spot. And you want to help. I kind of tell people, look, if you're going to ask me to put on a coat and tie and go into court for you, I'm going to charge you. But I'm not an office lawyer, you know, that does a lot of paperwork and things like that. So, you know, I tell people what they want to know, and then when they do need me, they'll call me.
I used to, I once paid for some services from an entertainment attorney in San Francisco who was also the entertainment attorney for the band Counting Crows for a while. And the guy, Dave Immergluck, the guy who came up with the term, or taught me the term worms, told me that one time he was looking at an itemized bill from their attorney when they were on, you know, first signed to a major label. And there was one thing on there that was 1/4 hour consultation at like 1338 Haight Street. And he's like, wait, he looked it up and he's like, that's the I-beam, you know, that's a club. And he called the guy up and he's like, oh yeah, that was, you know, we were both watching a band and I came up to you and said, hey, how do you like the band? And he charged him 1/4 hour for that. Like, they didn't even talk business. And he's like, you know, he got it taken off the bill, but that's pretty sleazy, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's more than I would do.
Okay. So, attorney on retainer, like, do you think that, you know, if someone is not rich but has, you know, enough money to do this, do you think it's worth it to shop around a couple attorneys in their town and maybe hire them for an hour and just sit in their office and pick their brain to see if there's someone they'd want to hire in the future?
You might do that, but you can always, if you have, like I said, most attorneys that I know, criminal defense attorneys, you can pick their brain a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
And they're not even going to bill you unless you really want to sit down for an hour. And then I'd do that for you if you want to. Hey, listen, we're going out. Don't talk to a lawyer. If you're arrested, just refuse to answer questions. Tell them you want to talk to your lawyer first. And never, ever agree to a search.
Excellent advice.
That's it.
Thank you, Randy England, the Wampus Cat. This has been the Freedom Fiends. And we'll be back in 22 hours with Mr. Davi Barker chatting with me. Probably
good
not.
Night, Michael.
Thanks, man. Good night, Randy.
Yeah.
Sweet dreams.
Yeah, you too.
Worms.
Kitties.
Worms.